Exactly. So we are joined today with one of those very races. We have several must wins, Randy. We've got, what, three or four must win Senate seats, right?
Yep. And we've got Dave Kerber, who is running for Senate District 26. And Dave, there are a couple of other that are seats that are considered very winnable in Colorado.
That's right, Randy. The Lang Size is running up in Arvada and Wheat Ridge against Evie Hudak. That's a seat that's very winnable and should be winnable. Lang's a great guy.
Great candidate, a leadership program of the Rockies graduate as well.
Oh, very good.
We're kind of partial to them around here
Absolutely.
Both he and I are in that program right now.
Yeah. The Mike Kopp, of course, had to resign, and Ken Summers is trying to hold that seat in Senate District 22 against Andy Kerr. So there's two legislators who are running against each other. Then there's a seat in the South Valley, San Luis Valley, that I think we're going to be able to pick up. Larry Crowder, I think, down there. And he's a good candidate. And if we can pick up three, then we get a majority. And majorities matter, as you can see from this session that we've had. Folks think that Governor Hickenlooper may actually have to make a decision if we can actually give him some good bills to sign. So far, he's just going to work, and I don't know what he's doing over there.
Well, I'm not going to belabor this point because it's over, it's dead, it's gone. But I'll tell you what, the guy expends not a penny's worth of political capital for the last 2 years, and now all of a sudden he expends $1 billion worth of political capital to call the executive or the special session over civil unions. Just remarkable. We don't have any jobs bills. We don't have any energy bills.
You know, Frank McNulty came out and reported that there were Democrat operatives in and out of his office. And so the speculation is that this really came from on high. The Obama administration, everything was kind of timed to make this the issue. Dave, you're running for a very important seat because you're in Arapahoe County. And as I've said many times on this show, Arapahoe County is one of three counties in the nation that's targeted by the Obama administration for their victory in 2012. So there's going to be a lot of big Democrat money coming into Arapahoe County.
Yes, there is, Randy. And that's why we're putting together a pretty good ground game, because at least we know by September, maybe even August and October, we're going to be drowned out by the Acorn people were there in 2008. There were people that were going door to door in Englewood, helping folks fill out ballots top to bottom, collecting the ballots and depositing them in the ballot boxes. And we have to match that.
Do you have
legally?
Yeah, you don't have a primary race, do you?
I do not, no.
Okay, so you're going toe to toe you're going to be going against one of the progressive Democrats, or liberal Democrats, or socialist Democrats, whatever you want to call them. I've got all these names.
A Dem by any other name
is still somebody we need to defeat.
There you go.
And so how are you going to run this? What are the principles that you're going to be standing on? What is your message?
Well, the message is, and it's amazing, we've been going door to door. And the Republicans, of course, they're ready to vote today. But the unaffiliates and the Democrats are very open to the message that what's going on right now isn't working. It's not working, and we need to try something new. With all these distractions that we've had, everyone still is concerned about how are they going to get their next job, how are they going to get their next paycheck. I'll tell you, we've been talking to senior citizens, and they are apoplectic in the fact that their grandchildren are graduating from college and can't get a job.
Oh, yeah. It's better than one out of every two college graduates today cannot get a job. That's better than 50%. I think it's closer to 53%. It's criminal.
And then they're thinking about, say, well, we'll just go to graduate school, and that costs a lot of money. Then they get out of graduate school and can't get a job. So
now, instead of $40,000 in debt, they're $100,000 in debt.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So what my message is for those folks is we need to focus on jobs. What the legislature has done and what my opponent has done, she's focused on school districts. She's focused on counties. She's focused on municipalities. She's focused on businesses making their life harder. What they need to do is look in the mirror and say, what can the state do to remove those burdens, if you will, from businesses so they can create jobs? The state cannot create jobs. All they can do is give us some stability and give us some sense. You know, I'm a small businessman. You know, I am burdened. I'm one of the burdened ones. And we need to have some kind of confidence that they're not going to change the rules. You know, the next legislative session, some new jobs program or some new bill or some new tax. And right now we don't.
That's just it. I mean, you take a look at what happens when the assembly is in session. So whenever we're dealing with a legislative session, every businessman puckers, every single one, because you just don't know what's going to come out of the Colorado House, the Colorado Senate. You just don't know what they're going to pass that's going to make it harder for us to do business. Everybody sitting in this room is a small business person. I mean, we all are. And you never know what they're going to pass. Now, in 2013, we know what's coming. We've got the Bush tax cuts that are going to expire. We've got Obamacare, if it's not overturned by the Supreme Court, that's going to basically cripple us. We've got problems. And the government doesn't have a clue. And they we had some good jobs bills. Hickenlooper even vetoed one that was a good jobs bill that I think Senator Neville punched through. I can't remember. Or maybe it was Rep. Holbert. I can't remember which one. But it was a good one. And Hickenlooper vetoed it.
Yeah, and again, as a businessman, what you do is you look out and you say to yourself, well, could I hire somebody or not? And you have to have some type of security that things aren't going to change, and so it's not going to change. So what happens is you just work harder. You work harder and just kind of sit there and hope that you're going to have enough money at the end of the day by the time we get taxed and by the time our health care goes up.
Ken, you started the segment we were talking about, Governor Hickenlooper in the special session, and I was doing the show when Hickenlooper's order, executive order, starting the special session came out. And the only of the seven things that he thought were so important that we had to spend $24,000 a day basically to try and pass civil unions and nothing more, there was only one bill in there that really led to jobs. It was the Water Authority bill that had a lot of good ideas to help Colorado's water problems and put people to work. So you're absolutely right, and it's so great, David, that you're out on a message of job creation and turning things around. We've got a caller on the line who has a question for you.
Okay.
All right. We are speaking with Dave Kerber. He is a senatorial candidate in District 26. So I'd like to welcome Carl Porter from Littleton, who has a question for you. Dave, Carl, welcome to the program.
Hey, Dave. This is actually Carol Porter.
Carol. Way to go, Zach. All right. Carol, thank you. What have you got?
Well, it's a real privilege to talk to you. You know, I live in District 26, and I'm really on point about this election, and I would like to see Linda Newell replaced by you. But I'd like to know a little bit more about you, and I'm so jazzed to hear you talk about job creation. And I'm just wondering if you could tell me a little bit more about the strategies that you'd support to make this state a national job magnet.
Well, I think what we have to do is again, focus on the small details. We should, like they had a bill go through the legislature this time that would have required any bill to have a business impact statement. Of course, you know, if you're going to want to pass a bill, you should know, is it going to hurt people or not hurt people? And the Democrats said they don't care. They don't care. And they voted that down. Another thing we need to work on is the federal government gives us a certain amount of money, and the folks down there at the legislature cannot figure out what money they're being given and what burdens or what strings are attached. Now, everybody talks about unfunded mandates, but we just can't seem to nail down exactly what our unfunded mandate is and make a decision, should we take this money or not? Until we can do that, we can't turn the state around.
One thing I wanted to mention about that bill that you had just brought up, Dave, is that there was only going to be an impact statement on every bill. The Democrats didn't say we don't care. That is not the position they took. They took the position, there's no way in hell we're going to make this public. It scared them to death because half of the bills that they, I'm going to say 85% of the bills the Democrats propose are bad for business, bad for the citizens. Now, a lot of them are great for government and great for the people that are on entitlements, but they're bad for business.
Yeah, I just want to bring up one of the bills that I've got here. It's that my opponent is a prime sponsor on Senate Bill 12005, and it's one of their job creation bills. And it has no impact. And the reason why it doesn't have an impact is they're going to have this plan for business retention, but nobody has to do anything. They say if the office develops a business plan, the office may. And if you actually read these bills, they spend a lot of time passing these bills. They had press releases and Facebook announcements and all that, but it does absolutely nothing but cause, you know, people to do things that won't work anyway. And what happens is it allows the Democrats to say, oh, we have a job initiative. And some of them may actually believe it. But it doesn't solve the problem. And they go home happy and they don't look to see what the real problem is. which is to focus on what the burdens are on business and to take action on them.
Well, when we come back, we're going to have more with Dave Kerber. But real quick, I wanted to make a correction. It was actually Senator Harvey who was able to punch that through, that bill through the House and the Senate, get it to the governor's desk, and it was a regional tourism bill. And the governor vetoed it.
Wednesday night, the hump day edition of Grassroots Radio Colorado. Randy Corporan in for Jason. Ken Clark is here. And in studio, we're joined by Senate District 26 candidate Dave Kerber. And Dave, as often happens during the break, we start talking about things that really would be good to talk about on air. And you were talking about schools. We've talked a lot, especially with Jefferson County school problems on this show. And one of the things we really took issue with was this one-size-fits-all discipline, the way someone is treated if they bring in a wood item in the shape of a gun versus bringing in an actual gun, or, you know, someone who touches a teenager who touches a girl gets treated like an adult who's committed a sexual crime and that sort of thing. And so you were talking about a so-called fix-it bill that came through, I guess, at about 44 pages. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, Randy. And the bill passed with overwhelming majorities, and some of it was good. It was
sponsored by your opponent?
Sponsored by my opponent. And some of it was good in that it took away that mandatory, if a five-year-old brings a butter knife to school, he has to be arrested stuff that came out of the Columbine. And that's what the news media portrayed, and a lot of folks voted for it because they wanted to get rid of that. But it's 44 pages. And what it requires is it requires arbitration, mediation, restorative justice. And you have to fill out these reports of who is suspended and consider these things and do a different discipline policy. And I just think that is the business for the school boards. In Kit Carson County, perhaps, when somebody's goofing around on the bus, maybe the restorative justice there is for the bus driver to stop the bus and say, I'm going to tell your mom unless you quit. Okay? Maybe in some other school district you have to call the police. But I don't see any way where 100 people in the state legislature can make those decisions appropriately for every one of the school districts statewide. The school districts, they're elected by the people. If the people don't like how their school district is doing, they can vote them out. They can run themselves. But there's so much of the school districts that are being run by the state in this micromanagement. As I say, peer review, there's that kid in Aurora that was suspended for saying a thing like, I'm too sexy or something like that. And my opponent was quoted by, and she said, well, in my new bill, there'll be peer review. I go, what, are we going to like bring these first grade kids
peer
in
peer review. Yeah. So, we're going to have sixth graders deciding whether or not another sixth grader did something wrong?
No, Ken. Six-year-olds.
That was a
six-year-old. Yeah.
Five-year-old kid.
I remember that.
Unbelievable.
It's just this arrogance of thinking that you know, just because you're a state legislator, that you know what other people should do.
My eyes are starting to bleed, Dave. I apologize, but I remember that story. And so this bill actually says peer review. So we're going to have six-year-olds judging other six-year-olds. What happens if they're just mad at him that day because he didn't bring brownies?
Well, we don't know. They'll have a team of experts, though, that I'm sure mediators and arbitrators and counselors and everyone will get together in a room and they'll talk about it instead of learning how to read.
But here's the point, David. This is drawing the distinction between a conservative Republican candidate who believes in families and local school boards, communities making decisions about their own communities, whether that community is a group or a church or a township or whatever, versus your opponent, who is a central planner, a mastermind, who thinks that the more pages we can write into a bill from the state government, the better we can make everything for everybody.
Absolutely.
They never understand the unintended consequences, but the history is there time and time again.
Well, that is absolutely true. And another one of her accomplishments she touts is the hiring of an ombudsman.
You can't even say the word. Who could?
There was a problem where kids in foster care, there were some deaths. And there's about 22 different review points that the county government has to fix that. So what she did is she has a state ombudsman. And it came up in the news in this session. Apparently they spent $250,000, and there's been three investigations. And I'd say to myself, you know, $250,000, maybe we could hire more caseworkers with that. You know, maybe we could hire somebody who would actually do anything as opposed to just reviewing what other people review and I don't know does what. But she her response is, if there is a problem, is to create more structure and bureaucracy. And my problem, not my problem, my solution as a businessman is to say, what's the problem? Look at the problem and fix the problem. Just don't add something on top of it and leave the problem, you know, in existence.
I do have a question for you, though. Yeah. I want to ask you, when you're elected, let's assuming you're elected, then you're going to be going into the next session of our wonderful assembly, at which time none of our life, liberty, or property will be safe. But what will be, in your first year as a new sitting senator, your keynote legislation?
Well, I would jump on board and get past that bill that has the business note on all the legislation.
The fiscal note.
Yeah, the fiscal note on government has really stopped a lot of bad Democrat legislation. You see it in a lot of these things. There's no fiscal note. Of course, there's no requirement on any of these bills. To get a fiscal note on businesses will highlight the fact that what they're doing is harmful. It will actually require them and everyone else, you know, not just Democrats but Republicans as well, to think about things that make sense. And the other thing I'd like to focus on is what is the cost of our federal mandates? My daughter's a teacher. She teaches eighth grade up in Windsor Middle School. And I'm talking to her, and she's getting mad at me. She says, you know, Dave, Rachel, you know, I may be a state senator someday. You know, what do you want me to do? She says, stop taking federal money. She says, it's killing me. She says, I'm on all these review committees. I'm drafting all these programs for Race to the Top. We don't get any money. So here we are. We're taking our tax dollars. We're sending it to Washington. Then we have to compete for it to get it back. Taking valuable teacher time. She could spend that time either doing lesson plans, grading, tutoring, or she can be on a committee coming up with some curriculum that the federal government wants that will never go into effect because we don't have any money.
Yeah, and let's make no mistake about that. Whenever the government, the federal government, comes up with a new program for education or whatever it may be, and they're going to give the state of Colorado $100 million to do this great thing and blah, 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 and we only have to match it by 10%. That's for usually the way that works is that's for the first 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, whatever. Then the federal money dries up and blows away, and the state of Colorado is left with a taxpayer-funded mandate that we have to cover that was a federally implemented program. I mean, what is it, better than 60-70% of our Colorado budget is a mandate? It's untouchable. We can't do anything about it. I can't remember what the percentage is.
Well, and we all forget that the money that they're sending to us is the money that we sent to them in the first place. So there's no efficiencies when you send money to government and then they give you some of it back to try and get something done. We're talking with Dave Kerber, the Senate district candidate for District 26. David, people who want to know more about you or help you along, how can they find you?
Well, I have a website, www.kerberforcolorado. It's F-O-R, Colorado. And that has our website. We have links, of course, to volunteer. We have links for people who want to have yard signs, which is a good way to get our name out. As we talked about earlier, once the Obama people come in, it'll be very difficult for anyone to differentiate these issues.
It's going to be impossible to hang on to yard signs. They steal them.
Well, I bought a lot of them.
Yeah.
Which isn't that sad. You know, I bought an extra amount of yard signs to prepare for a certain amount of theft.
Yeah. You have to, because they come and get them.
You know, that's amazing. I have a friend up in Fort Collins who, during the 2010 election cycle, kept putting out yard signs. And they kept stealing them and then stomping them into the ground and all that. And so she actually electrified her yard sign in front of her house. It didn't happen again.
Yeah, I've heard about spraying them with black pepper or some kind of pepper or something like that. So when they touch them, as soon as they touch their eyes, you know, then at least there's a penalty paid. You can have some satisfaction as you're.
We're not condoning or suggesting that that's what our listeners should do.
I was not talking in my official capacity as the official attorney of Grassroots Radio Colorado either.
That's right. We're not condoning such behavior. I'm just saying that that's what we've heard out there. That's all I'm saying. You know, we've heard that Obama's corrupt. We're not condoning corruption. I've just heard that he's corrupt. Dave, I'll give you the last word.
Well, thanks, guys. I really appreciate having an opportunity to come in here and talk to the folks. And that's what it's all about. It is about the people. You know, people talk about being a state senator, and it is a matter of being a public servant and trusting the people. Democrats don't trust the people. They really don't. They're going to have their solutions, and they think they're smarter than everybody else, and they think that they're wiser, they think they're kinder. And I think as good conservatives and as human beings, you got to trust the folks who put you in that office, and that's what I commit to do.
Well, they think they know better. They don't. They're, you know, we'll get into more of that in the next segment, but we've got a lot more to talk about.